Blog Talk Radio.
This ain't no ordinary world. This ain't no ordinary song, yeah. The God of sin is greater than the ordinary. So I'ma give them all I have.
Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and praise Him again. Welcome, good evening, everybody. We are here tonight on Real Talk, Grown Folks Bible Study. This is the Bible study where we rightly divide the word of truth with everyday application to the realities of adulthood. I am your host, Evangelist Rossi Williams, and I welcome everyone who is tuned in with me live tonight via phone and online. Now, as we go throughout tonight's teaching, I remind you that this is Bible study, meaning that this is where we come together, and not only do I teach, but I also hear from you. I take your questions and comments on air, as well as your prayer request. So for those of you who are tuned in via phone, when I open the lines, you will be able to press 1 to ask your comment, or I'm sorry, to ask your question or make your comment, and you will not have to say your name. I'll bring you on the air by the last 4 digits of your number, for example, 1, 2, 3, 4. For those of you who are tuned in online, all you will need to do is just type your question or prayer request on air, and I will read those as well. But we have a very good topic here tonight. Can a woman righteously withhold sex in a marriage? Think about that again. Can a woman righteously withhold sex in a marriage? And tonight we are in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. While you are getting those Bibles ready, let me remind everyone of how to tune in with me for Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study and my morning podcast, Daily Fire, Hot Manna for Your Soul. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, I'm live on Real Talk. You can tune in by dialing 323-870-4180 or online from my ministry website, rossi.org. That's rawsi.org. On Monday through Friday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern, when I'm live on Daily Fire, Hot Manna for Your Soul, you can tune in by dialing that same number, 323-870-4180, or online from my ministry website, rossi.org. But the best way to ensure that you never miss any of this teaching is to follow the podcast. So the recording will be text to you Monday through Friday mornings at 8 a.m. if you miss Daily Fire Live. And then on Wednesday nights, you will receive a text reminder when Real Talk goes live. I don't send out recordings of Real Talk because it's Real Talk Grown Folks Bible Study. Sometimes I have people that have some very sensitive questions and comments, so I want everyone to feel comfortable relating here. If you were unable to write this down, all of this information is on my ministry website, rossi.org, rawsi.org. Let's get into the Word. You should have your Bibles ready now. Again, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, reading from the KJV. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Last verse. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Isn't that some good word? Some of you didn't even know the Bible got that deep into dealing with sex. And I can tell you, if you read the Song of Solomon, it gets even deeper than that. So let's give God praise for his word tonight. What is our topic for this Bible study? Come on and repeat after me. Can a woman righteously withhold sex in marriage? Can a woman righteously withhold sex in marriage? Here we are in the year 2019, in a time where women are very independent. We have our own jobs. We have our own degrees. We can make our own money. We can bring home the bacon and fry it up in a pan. We are not beholden to men as many of our parents were, and definitely our grandparents and great-grandparents. A lot of them lived in a time where women really had no other options but to stay in the marriage no matter what happened, because their entire identity was wrapped up, tied up, entangled up in their husband. There were times that women could not own property outside of their husbands. But now here we are in 2019, and women don't generally have that financial tie. And because of that, we see that women feel as if we have more options. And we constantly at this time period assert and reassert that our bodies are our own. We say that the woman has the right over her own body, what happens to her body, who can have sex and access her body. And legally, from me being an attorney, I can say that is correct. Even now, husbands can be charged with rape and have been charged with raping their own wives. Many, many years ago, that would not have even been anything that people thought about. Charging a husband with rape for having sex with his wife, consent was really implied from the fact that the two people were married. But times have changed. So I want you to just take a second and think about how many excuses you've used in your marriage, if you're a woman, to not have sex with your husband. And I want you to think about why you did it. Was it out of anger, retaliation, spite, extortion, exploitation? Or was it just really you were tired, you didn't feel like it? Now, some of you may be saying, well, why aren't you focusing on the men? Well, generally, because when you see the sexual issues in the marriage, it's not usually the man who's not wanting or withholding the sex. It's the woman. Now I want you to think about how many people you know, how many men you know, whether you know them personally or they're public figures, who have thrown away entire marriages and careers, their entire name and legacy, to leave wives who would not engage in sex just for a one-night fling. We're talking about, can a woman righteously withhold sex in marriage? And finally, I want you to think about the fact that we are in the Me Too movement era. And we're in a time where people are worried about climate change. And recently, a group of women tried to start a trend that women would withhold sex until climate change was adequately addressed. Or that women would withhold sex until such, or not have babies until such time as the authors of this movement believed that climate change was sufficiently addressed. You see, sex has become, for so many women, a tool instead of what God has intended it for, instead of its intended purpose. It has become something to make the man do what I want you to do. In other words, a form of passive, aggressive behavior, instead of addressing the underlying issues that are causing you not to want to be intimate with your spouse. This is real talk, grown folks Bible study, remember. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 that I read unto you, Paul started off by saying, look, it's just good if you could really live your whole life in abstinence. It's really good, men, if you could just not even get tangled up with getting married or into these relationships, because then you could dedicate your entire life's focus to serving God, to expanding His kingdom, and putting forth the road to salvation to others. But he continued, listen, to avoid you ending up in the sin of fornication, every man have your own wife sexually, and every woman have your own husband. And then he got into this part where he said, now, I need for the two of you to understand that you are to render unto each other sexual satisfaction and gratification. Because you should understand that in being married, you are now one flesh. So despite what the world may tell you about your independence, says to you, don't have sex with your husband if you don't want to, and just, you know, don't even care about his sexual needs, Paul said, I'm saying to you, don't withhold sex from each other, and don't go through your marriage not having sexual intimacy unless it is with mutual consent. And even then, he gave a narrow focus of so that you can give yourselves to fasting and prayer. He said, but then come together again, because when you don't, Satan is there to tempt you for that lack of sexual fulfillment. In Psychology Today, an article written in 2017, they talked about The Truth About Men and Sex. This was written by Laurie J. Watson, August 12, 2017. She's a licensed professional counselor and licensed marriage and family therapist. Listen to this. Over my career as a sex therapist, I have had the opportunity to sit with thousands of men as they've discussed their sexual feelings, sex lives, and fantasies. Obviously, I don't know what it feels like to be a man, but I've had the honor of listening to the male perspective on sexual relationships. And while every man is different, of course, there are common themes. Number one, sex begins in the body. She goes on to explain that while we as women are prompted more emotionally in our minds through emotional feelings of connection, for men, sexual desire is physical. You know, men have a lot of testosterone, and their erections spring about at the slightest provocation. Number two, listen at this. For men, sex is a hunger. Wow. You hear that? For men, sex is a hunger. Yes, he wants to be full. And his craving for sex is like craving chocolates. His mind is captivated by the thought of an opportunity to be sexually satisfied. Number three, sex is energy. And she gave us five common themes. It infuses a man's intimate relationship. Number four, sex is excitement. His body is a great pleasure machine, and it is his most thrilling adventure. Every time he needs and desires to elevate his gratification. And finally, number five, sex is the way he gives love. A lot of times we as women will say that the man only thinks about sex, or he just sees our bodies as a meat market and we want to feel loved. Well, sex is not just the way he gratifies himself, but it is also the way he gives love. So now knowing that, when you go back to the scripture I read unto you from 1 Corinthians 7:1-5, surely now you can understand why Paul said you cannot and you should not withhold sex in the marriage. This is what drives your husband. He has a hunger for it, a craving for it. And so sex cannot be a tool of manipulation. Isn't this good teaching? In sexhealthmatters.org, the science says that the average man has about 11 erections each day and several more at night. They're not always caused by sexual stimulation. For example, it says many men awaken with an erection. But I want you to think about that number. The average man has at least 11 erections per day. Sex is constantly on his mind. I just read to you from Psychology Today about how a man needs sex. He craves sex. So you as his wife must understand your role in the marriage of fulfilling that need, because when you choose to withhold and to use sex as a ploy, or a form of manipulation or anger or retaliation, you are destroying your marriage. I say again, when you choose to withhold sex from your husband and you use it as a tool of manipulation or exploitation, or you step out into the feminist world of saying, well, it's my body, I don't care if we don't have sex for 90 days, you are destroying your marriage because your husband has a need, not just a desire, but a need to be sexually fulfilled. In Hebrews 13, verse 4, it reads, marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Your marriage bed is honorable before the Lord. So as long as you and your husband are doing whatever the two of you want to do, that's only between the two of you, and you are not opening your marriage bed to others, you're not in the pornography, then whatever the two of you want to do between the two of you, that's honorable before the Lord. A few weeks ago, I was speaking with some people at a different church, not even anywhere in Miami-Dade County. And I was speaking with the first lady there, and we were having this kind of conversation. And she was talking about the women's ministry they have at that church, the adult women's ministry, and how candid she is in teaching that class about the wife's need to fulfill the sexual desires of the husband and the man's sexual needs. And they talk about the fact, she brought up how there are so many women, especially some of the older women who were raised very strictly in church, who were saying there were some of the things that are being done today, such as oral sex, that they just would not do. They thought that was nasty and they could never imagine it. See, these are their inhibitions. The problem, however, is from speaking with those women, these are some of the things that their husbands want. The women are saved and their husbands are saved. Hebrews 13:4, the marriage bed is honorable. This is why Paul spent that time teaching you, as I just read in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5, the importance of understanding that you cannot and should not withhold sexual intimacy in the marriage because it said, what did he say? Because if you don't come together, it allows the door to be open for Satan to bring in temptation. And wives, whether you want to face this reality or not, there are less and less straight men in the world today. I didn't even say straight saved men. I just said less and less straight men, men who only want women in the world today. Some of those that you think are straight are actually on the down low, and we've seen that come out into the public so many times. Men whom you were just knocked off your feet when you found out they were gay. So there's already a reduced pool of men who are just straight men. Now, within that pool, somewhere in there is your husband. So there's also, because your husband is married, then a reduced pool of available/single men who are straight. Nonetheless, there's still a growing number of women because there are more women on the earth or more women out here than men. So who do you think the single women are making themselves available to? They're wanting, they want to be married. I mean, I'm single. I want to be married, remarried. So they want to be married. And so they are out there saying, look, man, if your wife won't do what you want done, then they say they'll do it. Come to me. They don't care if he's married. They don't care if he's a pastor, evangelist, bishop. And think again, as I ask you to do at the beginning of this Bible study, of how many great men have fallen because of what? Nothing but sex. You mean to tell me he gave up that church for sex? He gave up that wife? He gave up that home? He gave up that image? Yes, because as I've already read to you from Psychology Today, he has a craving for it. And as Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5, he needs it. And if he doesn't get it, he will tempt it. not the woman's fault that your husband, right, or your man chooses to cheat. And it's not ultimately your fault, because cheating is a choice. He could always decline and instead say, I'm going to focus this time and effort and energy that I'm putting out here on this side chick on my own wife and getting my own marriage together. But you have a role to play in that, which is to do your part. Now, remember, this is real talk, grown folks Bible study. I know some of you don't like it, but guess what? This is what we need to be dealing with in church. We have as many divorcees in church as we have in the world. We have divorced pastors, evangelists. I'm one of them. Apostles, bishops. So we need to be discussing the real issues. It's good to give you sermons about God's going to give you a car, or God's going to give you a house, God's going to come in and give you everything you ask for. But what about the real issues? Destroying your home every day. What about the infidelity you're dealing with in your marriage? What about the lack of intimacy? What about you withholding sex from your spouse instead of doing what the word said do? And what about you doing that and using it in manipulation? Do you want your husband walking around unfulfilled sexually in a world where everywhere he goes, the opportunity to have sex is there, when you know physiologically he must have it, psychologically he craves it, and spiritually God has ordained that the two of you become one flesh? Why are you being disobedient? Why are you tempting, as they say, fate? Why are you opening the door? Tonight we're answering that question. Can the wife righteously withhold sex in marriage? Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 5, I read to you that, but I want to make sure I read verse 6, because I believe in giving you the full situation and you can go from there. He said, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. In other words, this is I, Paul, speaking, and not God saying that you must do this. And that's one of the things I love about Paul, is that he always distinguishes if it's something that he's telling you from his own experience, his own wisdom, and him being an anointed apostle of our Savior. But he will distinguish if God has said that as a commandment. When he needs to do that, he's going to let you know. So what he's saying is, look, this is best practice. This is the best advice. Legally, you can withhold sex. Righteously, you could, because he said, this is me speaking, not God here. But righteously, you should not. And in obedience to God, you really could not. Because then you're also standing outside of the will of your marriage being a covenant relationship where the two of you are one. Sex is important, and we're about to go into prayer. So if there are any of you that have any questions or comments who are listening, go ahead and press 1 on your phone or type in your prayer request, and I will read it off. And if not, we'll just go into prayer when I wrap up. I need you to remember that Satan desires to have you, as to sift you as wheat. He knows the power of sex, and he desires to destroy as many marriages as possible. So when you are withholding sex, you are adversely affecting your marriage. And so we're going to go into prayer tonight Because what I say to you is deal with whatever the issues are. Whatever it is that is tempting you to withhold sex, don't be passive aggressive. Don't use sex as a tool. Deal with the issues in the marriage because you want to have a happy marriage, a successful marriage, and a forever marriage. Let's go into prayer. Father, we come tonight in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you and we glorify you for this word tonight. We thank you for this grown folks Bible study, Lord, as we deal with whether or not a woman can righteously withhold sex in a marriage and whether she should do that. And Father, we thank you because we've broken down your word to determine that the answer is no. Lord, tonight I lift up every marriage. I ask you, Father, to bless them to come together as one. Where there has been infidelity or whether there's been anger, whatever the situation is, and they've decided to stay together. I ask you, Lord, to help them to not only forgive, but to rebuild the trust necessary to move forward successfully in their marriage. Father, I pray for the husbands that they will find the spark in their own wives, that they will love their own wives, that they will honor and respect their own wives, that they will prioritize their own wives, that they will seek to fulfill their own wives and have good times and joy with their own wives, that they will set up appropriate boundaries to protect their own wives, their own marriages, Lord. Father, I lift up every wife that she will do the same with her husband, and that they will submit their marriages to you in the name of Jesus for cleansing and for purging, Lord, for rededication, Father, for growth, and for eternal success. Now, Lord, we say thank you. And for those who are single, I lift us up, Lord, that we would remain committed to you, that we will not give our bodies over to fornication, but God, that we will seek you, that you will bring the right person into our lives and answer our desires and requests to be married. And that we will love and prioritize and do those same things for that person. In Jesus' name, we count it done and we thank you for the victory and the liberation that has come forth tonight. We praise you because we seek to please you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, count it done. Let everyone say amen. Come on, wherever you are, and just say amen tonight. In the name of Jesus, so be it. I challenge you to protect your marriage. I challenge you to protect that person you love. Henceforth and forevermore. This is Attorney Evangelist Rossi Williams. I'll see you in the morning at 7 a.m. on Daily Fire. Remember, visit me at rossi.org. Your life and soul will be the better for it. Hallelujah to the Lord.
It's been a long